Imagine a book printed not on paper, but on waterproof synthetic paper made from plastic resins, designed to be infinitely recyclable without quality loss. This wasn't just any book, but cradle to cradle itself, embodying its own philosophy through its physical form. When William McDonough and Michael Brongart published their revolutionary work in 2002, they didn't just present ideas, they demonstrated them. The book quickly became a cornerstone for sustainable design, influencing companies from Herman Miller to Ford, and even celebrities like Brad Pitt, who incorporated its principles into post-Hurricane Katrina rebuilding efforts. 2 decades later, as we face increasingly urgent climate challenges, its message resonates more powerfully than ever. What if human industry could function like nature, where waste becomes food and abundance is sustainable? Our industrial infrastructure resembles the Titanic, impressive but fundamentally flawed. The Industrial Revolution created systems that generate enormous waste and environmental toxins. Workers shifted from farms to factories as cities expanded under a more, more, more mentality. Victorian London epitomized this transformation. Coal emissions necessitated daily collar changes, while the Thames became toxic with industrial waste. The waste is devastating. Over 90% of materials for American durable goods become waste almost immediately. A laptop generates 4,000 times its weight in waste during production. The average product contains only 5% of its raw materials. 95% is lost during extraction, processing, and transportation. Environmental responses typically focus on making industry less bad rather than reimagining its design. This approach relies on restrictive language: reduce, avoid, minimize, sustain, limit, which merely slows depletion rather than addressing root causes. Most recycling is actually downcycling, degrading material quality over time. When automotive steel melts with copper and plastic, it creates weaker hybrid materials while losing valuable pure components. Even efficiency gains can backfire. Energy-efficient buildings often worsen indoor air quality by reducing air exchange. Perhaps instead of asking, how do we do less harm, we should ask, how can we do good? Consider a cherry tree's thousands of blossoms produced for a single pit. This isn't wasteful. The fallen blossoms nourish everything around it, decomposing into nutrients for the ecosystem. The tree's waste feeds organisms from microbes to insects and enriches soil for surrounding plants. Nature operates on a waste equals food principle, where Earth's nutrients cycle continuously in a cradle-to-cradle system. Until recently, this was the only system, and growth meant more trees, species, and resilient ecosystems. Industry disrupted this balance by creating materials that cannot safely return to soil. What if human designs followed nature's model? Instead of eco-efficient sealed buildings, imagine structures with natural light, operable windows, and living walls that purify air and water. Picture rooftop gardens hosting wildlife, solar panels mimicking leaves, and materials that safely decompose. Traditional black tar roofs can reach 150°F, creating urban heat islands and demanding heavy air conditioning. Living roofs, covered with soil and plants, offer an eco-effective solution. This modernized ancient technique stabilizes temperature, provides insulation, produces oxygen, captures carbon, manages stormwater, and reduces cooling costs by 25 to 50% while doubling or tripling roof longevity. To prosper, humans must mirror nature's cradle-to-cradle system, where waste doesn't exist. The planet operates through two distinct metabolisms: biological, biosphere/cycles of nature, and technical, technosphere/cycles of industry. With intentional design, all manufactured products can feed these systems. A biological nutrient returns safely to the biological cycle. When creating an environmentally intelligent fabric for design techs, the authors avoided mixing cotton with recycled PET fibers, a monstrous hybrid incompatible with either cycle. Instead, they developed an edible fabric safe for both human exposure and natural decomposition. Working with a European company, they eliminated nearly 8,000 common textile chemicals, selecting just 38 beneficial ones. The result? Factory water output became cleaner than its input. A technical nutrient returns to the industrial metabolism. For example, a television contains 4,360 chemicals, both toxic and valuable materials currently wasted in landfills. Properly isolating these materials enables upcycling rather than downcycling, maintaining their quality in closed industrial loops. In healthy, natural systems, the fittingest thrive through engagement with place. Ants demonstrate this with 8,000 species worldwide, each evolved for its niche. In rainforests, hundreds of ant species coexist in a single tree. Some cut leaves, others tend aphid herds, while some defend their host trees. True sustainability requires connecting with local conditions. When designing Bedouin housing in Jordan, the team chose adobe structures using local materials, clay, straw, animal hair, over prefabricated buildings. This approach optimized desert temperature regulation while engaging local craftspeople to train Bedouin youth, preserving cultural heritage and creating economic opportunities. Diverse, distributed energy systems provide resilience against disruptions. Small-scale generation, with one plant per three city blocks, reduces transmission losses from 7 to 10% to under 3%. Solar collectors on south-facing roofs meet peak cooling demands during sunny periods, while distributed wind power across family farms creates a more resilient energy landscape. How does an established company begin transitioning to eco-effectiveness? The journey unfolds through five key steps. First, eliminate known harmful substances, creating phosphate-free and lead-free products. However, replacement chemicals may pose their own risks. Second, make informed ecological choices by selecting substances and practices that protect human and environmental health. Architects, for instance, might choose Forest Stewardship Council certified wood. Third, inventory all materials, analyzing their substances and emissions during manufacture and use. Screen materials into three categories: X-list, immediate phase-out, gray-list, problematic, and P-list, safe. Fourth, embrace genuine redesign. Move beyond being less bad to being good. Instead of substituting ingredients, start fresh with beneficial materials that enable new possibilities. Finally, reimagine the entire design challenge. Shift from design a car to design a nutrivehicle. Envision products with positive impact. Engines as natural chemical plants. Emissions captured for reuse, and waste transformed into resources. This vision for a new industrial revolution focuses on reimagining our relationship with materials, energy, and design through five principles. Signal your intention, restore rather than deplete, be ready to innovate further, understand the learning curve, and practice intergenerational responsibility. In 1999, Ford's $2 billion transformation of their River Rouge factory in Dearborn, Michigan, became a symbol of this new era. Instead of abandoning the brownfield site, Ford restored it to a living environment with green roofs and constructed marshes, saving $35 million while creating environmental benefits. What if we designed systems that create abundance rather than viewing ourselves as burdens on the planet? What if our buildings, vehicles, clothes, and tools improve the environment through their production and use? This transformation requires everyone's participation and continuous evolution. The goal isn't to minimize our impact, but to optimize our positive footprint through intelligent, regenerative design, creating a world where doing good and doing well align perfectly.